Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Father David Mowry.
I'm Eric Nash.
Welcome, guys.
It's a fancy week.
Yeah, it's, well,
double trouble.
We have got always double trouble on this podcast, but we have brought in two ringers here for minute 51 through 55.
It's another week, yes, and we're still at the racetrack.
We are still at the racetrack, and we will talk about that in a second. But first, I'm going to introduce our guests.
No, introduce the hosts again. Come on.
Okay, I'll introduce the guests. Who watches the Watchmen? Our first guest. That's who. He's a returning friend of the show and keeper of the Movies by Minutes spreadsheet. It's Eric Nash.
Hey, glad to be here.
Enthusiasm.
How are you guys doing?
I'm overwhelmed by your weird intro. Welcome, Eric. Welcome back, man.
Glad to be here. It's great. It's, you know, and this is a movie I have not seen yet.
Uh-oh.
But you assured me that you're going to convince me to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, these are the same minutes Eric had last time, 51 through 55.
Oh, that's funny. That's pretty funny.
That was not on purpose. It just happens sometimes. And let me introduce our other guest. Directly from the Roman Catholic Diocese of Joliet, Illinois is the coolest priest you've ever heard. Put your hands together for a big movie fan, Father David Mowry.
Yo, London, what is up? Are you ready to pray?
Oh, we've injected religion into our podcast. Uh-oh. I mean, I'm sure we have religious people that have been on our podcast. We just have never had somebody just up in their face. You're like, Father David.
I thought for a second you were going to call him Joliet Jake. So, you know, come on.
Oh,
I am on a mission from God.
Well, there you go. See?
Yes. Father David is a friend of so many other shows. He's been on Star Wars Minute. He's been on Indiana Jones Minute. He's been on Mean Girls Minute, just to name a few. And the guy knows his movies. And he's in Illinois, and I'm in Illinois, so it all kind of worked out. Not that he's in my house or anything.
No, that would be weird. Budge over. It's a little crowded.
Oh, sorry. Hey, high five. See? Nice. We're right next to each other. Yep, that's me.
Thanks so much for having me on. This is a pleasure.
No problem. We're going to talk today. Monday's episode is going to be all about minute 51. In minute 51, we're still at the racetrack. This minute begins with Naya's hands in Ambrose's pockets and ends with her walking away to place a bet. We got a lot of stuff going on here. This is the, we had talked about last week. This is where the pickpocketry begins. I'm a fan of pickpocketry. I'm going to call it that because I don't know what else you call the art of pickpocketing. Is
lifting is a term I've heard.
Hmm? Lifting, bro. But I'm wondering
how many wallets are you on, my dude?
Have any of you ever tried to pick a pocket? That's weird. No, have any of you ever tried to like we all try magic tricks? Have any of you ever tried to lift something out of someone's pocket without them noticing? Have you ever had anything lifted out of your pocket by somebody without you noticing?
When I was in Europe on my high school choir trip, I was so scared of pickpockets that I managed to find a neck safe. So this big plastic and fabric wallet that you hung around your neck, you're able to stick your passport and your cash and everything in it. And normally it's just for traveling when you're in the airport or the train station, you're in a busy place and you're surrounded by crowds, you want to keep your valuable safe. But I wore it all the time on this trip, so every time I had to pay for Swiss chocolate, I had to dig into my shirt and reach down and grab out this, you know, slightly damp euro in order to pay for what I needed, because I was so worried about pickpockets, which I thought were just lurking around every bush.
I think you and I may have gone on the same trip. I had the exact same thing. Mine was like a it was like a hemp bag. It was literally like a really something rough, because I remember when I put it around my neck and it like was long.
Yeah,
it was long,
it
so you could, and it had a zipper at the top.
String on it. I think it was built for
people seven feet
tall.
And you put it around your neck, and I keep it on my chest, but I was like a teenage boy in Europe, and I literally was like sweating through it.
Yes.
And I was like, this is disgusting. Like my, all my money and like my ID, everything smelled like a boy, like BO. It was awful. That's hilarious. I am to this day afraid of pickpockets, even in Chicago. I mean, that's not a thing that really happens, no. But people do get their wallets taken, but it's just by gunpoint.
Well, it's phones now. You hold, if you got your phone out by the doors of the L, you got to watch out because someone will swipe that right off you as they dash out the doors when the train stops.
That's exactly right. When I lived with in Chris's state, I had a big old Texas wallet. It was long and it, like, you could put in dollar bills like flat and they laid there and it like stuck 2 inches out of my back pocket. When I got to Chicago, I'm like, I can't have this. I just can't. So I bought one of those little tiny, clip, ones, and I have like 3 credit cards in it and some money, and it goes in my front right pocket. And I'm always constantly touching it, like with my hand. To notice if it's there. So why am I still afraid of pickpockets?
The thing about pickpockets, it's a violation of privacy because you know a pickpocket has to be so up close to you in order to lift something out of your pocket. And then they've got you almost. They have your ID, they have your money, your credit cards, they have all this important information. And in modern society, if you don't have your wallet, if you don't have your purse, if you don't have that stuff with you, what do? You're stuck.
Because most people, when they get robbed, they get robbed when they're not there. This is very intimate.
Oh boy.
This is extreme. Like if to be pickpocketed, it's almost worse. I don't know. There's no good way to be robbed, but
I don't think there's a good way for that at all.
The only person I enjoy watching getting robbed is Ambrose in this movie.
But this is Naya's first successful theft in this movie.
Well, sure. To be fair, her other one was torpedoed. Her earlier one was torpedoed on purpose. It's not like she failed. He triggered the alarm.
She was set up to fail.
Yeah, he triggered the alarm. So she didn't actually set it off.
Fair. That's fair enough.
What I was wondering, though, is it would have been really funny as if Ethan had been like, I need you to steal it out of his left jacket pocket. And she's like, I don't know how to pickpocket. What do you mean? I'm a cat burglar. That's two different things. Oh, I'm sorry. That's kind of what we only needed you for. You needed a pocket. That's it.
I don't have any ranks in sleight of hand. I put all my ranks in climb. Well, as she's playing off the pickpocketing action here by rummaging around in Ambrose's pockets for money, I was so charmed by that very British saying, I haven't got a bean.
Oh, yeah. When I heard that, I was like, oh, that's very pretty. I haven't got a bean.
And it made me wonder where the heck that came from. So at first I thought, you know, is it, you know, like trading for beans or something like that? And that led me down a rabbit hole with like Aztecs who used cocoa beans as currency. But then in actual British sources, it talked about bean being a slang term in the 1800s for one of the British coins, the guinea or the sovereign coin. Mm-hmm. So that slang was in use 200 years ago, but it didn't show up in print until, you know, the early 1900s when guineas and sovereigns weren't used as commonly. But the slang term persists even in British slang today.
That's cool. I didn't know that's where it came from.
Yeah, it's yeah, the Aztec cocoa beans were also fascinating to me. So here I got this. So a turkey for the Aztecs cost 100 cocoa beans.
Okay.
So with that idea, what do you think you could get for 3 beans?
Oh,
an avocado.
Okay.
A wife, or a tomato.
Oh, what? An avocado or what?
An avocado, a wife. Or a tomato.
Wow, you could get a wife.
It's a trick question. All 3.
One bean each.
One bean each.
Any guesses?
It's probably wife.
The wife.
It's probably horribly wife.
Yeah.
No, it's a freshly picked avocado.
Ah, damn it.
Freshly
picked avocado. Cynical, Chris. We're so cynical. We gotta be good. We gotta be better.
We're still stuck in the misogyny of Mission Impossible 1.
Yeah. Well, the misogyny of Mission Impossible 2.
I was going to say.
The first 45 minutes of this movie is icky. I mean, we're now at 51 minutes in, and she's finally getting to do something.
Yeah, well, you know, besides drive the car and try to steal the thing earlier.
Well, drive the car and wreck the car.
Yes, and wreck the car. And try to attempt to steal the necklace. But
and fail into stealing the necklace.
But that's still more than all the women in Mission Impossible 1 combined. So.
It's true. It's true.
Now, while maybe this we find out in the coming minutes, I think that this operation, this little mini operation here becomes, is I think, successful. This her pickpocketing this, though, I'm not crazy about.
Okay.
Because
she don't like her technique.
She's lifting the thing she's really going after first, and then the cash part. Is it really a distraction?
Yeah, she's like putting her hand she's on his chest first, kind of like a touch. Yeah, I have heard that. That's the what's it's first. Called like the bump and something. That's what's actually called when they bump into you. Yeah. That's when they're because that bump is when they can put their hand in your pocket.
Yeah, and they distract you so.
Because your body can't know, like, you know, have you ever been to the dentist and they take your cheek and they pinched it? Does your dentist do that?
No.
When you go see your dentist, well, first he makes me take my pants off. First he tells me to take my pants off, like all dentists, you're supposed to. Second, when you get a shot of Novocaine in the back of your thing, a lot of dentists, your face can't have two things happening at once. The nerves don't work that way. Uh-huh. So they grab your cheek with their hand, they pinch it and they jiggle it, and then they inject at the same time, and it does dull that horrible pain.
Wow.
No, I've never had that happen.
Because your nerves in your cheek are registering being moved, being pinched, and then something else is happening. So it's just like, I don't know. So it just doesn't even like register. It does some, but it's not as much. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so my dad did not have that technique. It always felt like he was taking a hole punch to my gums.
Well, yeah, that's how I felt too.
Well, we'll have to get you my guy. He's quite good. But
that's a technique, Jonathan. I think that might be something that your guy only does.
No, I've had it at like three different dentists.
Okay.
And they all think it's so cool.
I was like, would you mind if I take your cheek and, you know, move it?
That's how my dentist moves, talks.
Talks like this.
But I do like her technique in you know, dropping it to the side and then trying to hide it. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, no, that part I like too.
From her from under her pit to her hand. Yeah, that was a cool mm-hmm. Now you see me move. I think they do that.
It's very John Woo without the guns.
Well, it is in slow motion. That's how we know it's important.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Envelope foo. That's what it is.
But then my issue there is at the start of that, where it is in her armpit, that it's sticking out a little bit much in the back, and her back's to him, and he's facing her, and he doesn't see it somehow.
Yeah. At second 25, you notice that it's sticking out a good 4 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think they just didn't have she's a slight girl. I don't know if that envelope would actually fit behind her arm. Her arms are smaller than an envelope.
I mean, the other thing is that John Woo films, no matter whether they're his American films or his Hong Kong films, they're notorious for that sort of weird little inconsistency from shot to shot. You notice all sorts of things like, wait, in that previous shot, the gun was here. But in this shot, it's over here because it's easier for the jump to happen with the gun in this placement as opposed to where it was in the previous shot. Mm. But because of the cutting and stuff, and they're, you know, we're not watching it minute by minute. We usually don't notice them until you've seen the movie maybe like more than twice that you start to realize all the little tricks he pulls that like that. So.
Who needs continuity? It looks cool.
It does look cool. Eric, what I think Chris is telling you is you're being too critical of this movie.
No, that's not really what I'm saying, but I mean, it's a trait of, I mean, any of his films I've noticed, even his best films, they have that weird inconsistency with continuity. Hmm. And in the past, I thought maybe it was the way he shot the films, you know, so quickly. But you know, he uses so many cameras to shoot the films that I would think the consistency would be there.
Well, I mean, it's also, I don't mind it. It's such such a quick scene, and it happens so fast. But yeah, when you're doing minute by minute, you're like, oh, look at this.
But I think because it's at the top of the frame, and the focus of the frame is her lower body and her hand, that's really what people are paying attention to in that shot. Yeah.
Don't get me started on the fact that they're carrying around this digital media in this envelope. It drives me nuts. Because the digital media, we're going to get to it all week. They treat this digital media like, I'm going to say it up front, the Holy Grail. They treat it like the cup of Christ. And they are so like, get the camera. Here comes the, later on, we're going to have like some craziness that's going to happen over this digital camera and this stupid SD card that we've all got now. Everyone has SD cards. We have them laying around. I have one over here. It's just 8 megs and 8 gigs. I'm like, well, what do I do with this? Like, it's like useless.
This one's like a massive SD card, one of those.
Oh, yeah. Those were back when they were fat.
Yeah.
With exactly. A pH.
And they had like 128 megabytes on them.
Yep.
Okay. Well, hold on to that number because I want to come back to that number. I want to come back to the size of the card later.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll write that down.
And it's an oddly shaped envelope as well. It's not quite the regular, I don't know the official term for it, but it's not a regular letter envelope. It seems shorter.
It is. It's a British and countries of Britain have a different sizing. Ah. They don't use 8.5 by 11, for instance.
Interesting.
Their paper is a different size because they don't use inches. So
okay, that makes sense.
Everything. I once had to do. I went for Sidley and Austin. They're a big law firm, global law firm, and I had to work there. Yeah, I had to do European stationery, and I was like yelling at my friend, I'm like, what's under the dimensions? They're like yelling, telling me, and I'm like, what? And I'm like trying to make it. And I'm like, it's a tiny square. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So
it's all in French.
Yeah. So yeah, they all these envelopes, everything they probably were on set and just like, get an envelope. And they're like, oh, okay, here. Yeah, it's not our standard number 10 envelope. That's the word you're looking for. It's a number 10 envelope.
Of course. How could I be so dense?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you should have owned a print shop for 10 years like I did.
That would do it.
That'll do it. I know all the names of all the stupid sizes. A4, A2, A7,
That's what it all means when you look at the printer and it's like, what A4? What that? I don't understand that.
An A2 envelope is the return envelope and an A7 envelope is one of like a normal card, like a normal 5x7. Anyway, let's move on. You gave me my old job that I hated. So,
well, the other thing is look at the as it drops, or as she's crinkling it into her pants.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the stuff on the left side, the white, the black floor, and the white chair or something. Maybe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in mind for a couple minutes from now.
Okay. I have a feeling it's going to move. It's going to move, or is it going to change?
So many plates keep spinning in the air here.
Oh yeah, numbers are to remember, furniture. To remember.
I see the chair. I will remember. It has like white slats on it. So yes. For the fancy boxes, I'll remember that. And then it moves directly to Ethan's watching all this through his binoculars, which of course I doubt he's actually. I guess he can hear him too. So it's not only a two-way radio. He can hear Ambrose talking to her
because it's like a four-way radio.
Well, it's an ambient radio.
How much does the microphone and the earpiece pick up?
I assume everything.
I would think so.
Like just all, it's an omnidirectional microphone, I assume.
Crazy gain.
Yeah, crazy gain.
Crazy gain. That's a good one.
And then Tom Cruise sets off. He wants to run. You can see it, but he knows he can't. He's walking.
His hair flowing through the wind.
Hair just bouncing.
Oh, that hair.
Fancy free.
He runs like a pony. Like the horses behind him. Like the great steeds around him. His hair is...
his mane flowing in the wind.
Oh, yeah. Eric's going to be doing a new podcast that's going to have like a lot of long hair. So, yeah, he goes running off.
And as he goes walking by, we have two great racetrack hats on those ladies in the background.
Thank you for noticing them last week. Liz was all about the racetrack hats, so let's make sure we give you shout outs. Those are good hats.
Liz is a very smart person.
She is. She's the first person to say, we need to talk about these hats. That hat, that white one on the right, holy moly. It's like, it's like a swan fell asleep on a hat that looks like a bell. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. Only Billy gets a hat of all of our main characters. It really seems unfair.
Yeah, what a waste of a hat. Yeah. Oh, that might be the name of the episode, A Waste of a Hat. That's Billy. Billy is a waste of so many things.
Oh, poor Billy. He's trying.
Well, have we talked about it before that he was a last-minute replacement for Steve Zahn?
Really?
We talked about it originally, I thought.
Yeah, I think we talked about that back in the first couple episodes.
Back in the day, but yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, because I can definitely see Steve Zahn being that. Yes, that's right. We talked about it and about how we felt he was like the Australian cheap equivalent of Steve Zahn.
And they were going to have Steve Zahn be just American, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be Steve Zahn.
That would have been awesome because he's super charming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Instead, we got Billy. And we get to see Luther, and we'll talk about it in the next minute, but Luther's frantic grabbing for the case with the camera in it when Ethan says, "Get the case." I was like, oh my God, you guys aren't ready? You should have this camera out. You should have
everything ready.
Why doesn't Ethan have the camera? This is where it goes back to it being the Holy Grail. It'll continue the rest of the week. It is so precious, it has to be in a case. Why?
Those are expensive, man.
Back in the day, those things were like $2,000, those little Kodak big boxy cameras.
Especially a camera that can do what this camera is going to do. I'd keep it in a case.
This is a good place, since we're talking about a waste of a hat, let's talk about a waste of 5 minutes, which is Tech of the Ep. So let's go on in there. All right, we're here in Tech of the Ep. Here we are. Everyone, get your case. Get your case. Let's scramble. I didn't have my Tech of the Ep ready. Eric, let's go.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, what I like is the binoculars, you know, because I think he's actually seen her put that in her pants when no one else can.
Oh, it bends light.
Yeah. It's yeah.
Nice. We like those. Those are like Star Wars binoculars. Quad binox. What were they called last week? Quad knox. That's what they were called.
Sounds like a Star Wars monster or character. Yep.
Quad knock. But yeah,
macro binoculars. No, that's what they're. They're macro binoculars, and then you could upgrade to the electro binoculars.
Because electricity is more important than
much more important than macros.
I guess so. Father David, what about you? What's your first Tech of the Ep?
For the Tech of the Ep, I think there's really great tech in the technique that Naya uses as she lifts the SD card off of poor Ambrose here.
You are a listener because you have heard some of the BS that we have come up with over the last year.
He knows the BS very well.
I don't know what else you can mean by tech. It's obviously for technique.
Yes.
High techniques that happen in this mid, and I think pickpocketing is the best one.
Yeah, because the name of this is Technique of the Epnique. That is what this really means. You figured it out.
Cracked the code.
Yeah, Chris, what about you?
I'm going to go with the sweet little pelican case that they got that camera in.
Oh, yeah. That sweet little pelican case that's so precious. Keep it in there. Mine, Chris. You picked mine because I was like, what a waste of money. What a waste of a pelican case. That case alone is like $150 to $200.
Then you got to get the foam specifically cut for the camera. That's even more expensive, too.
Yes.
Of course, watch them just have it lift, you know, bouncing around in that case.
All right. Well, that's a great place to end this. We enjoy having you guys on. We're going to have you guys on tomorrow for minute 52.
Great.
Until then, Mondays, we like to do plugs. So, Eric, plug away. Anything you'd like to.
Oh, yeah. I got Watchmen Minute, and it by the time this is coming out, it should have ended.
Yes. Hopefully. It's 3 months from now.
Podcast will have ended. And later this year, you should hear Almost Famous Minute.
Ooh, nice.
Noice. He's doing all the Billy Crudup films.
Yes. Ah.
Unfortunately.
We're going to definitely have to have him on for Mission Impossible 3.
Yes. Yes. It's the one time he's okay. Eric knows how I feel about Billy Crudup. Father David, what about you? Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Can I plug something I have nothing to do with?
Of course.
Okay, great. Then I'd like to plug the Word on Fire show. It's a podcast put out by Bishop Robert Barron, who's an auxiliary bishop out in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. and he and his co-host dive into news of the day, topics that come up in the Catholic Church, some theological or philosophical conversations. Sometimes they just have shows where they take questions from listeners and they get into all kinds of great conversations. So I find that a really great doorway for those who are interested in learning a little bit more about the Catholic faith, hearing someone who knows how to put a sentence together. It's a very listenable podcast. So I recommend the Word on Fire show.
Awesome.
Pretty cool.
Cool. Oh, you know where to find us, guys. We're at MinuteImpossible.com. We're at MinuteImpossible.com/Patreon. We're at MinuteImpossible.com/merch. We've got t-shirts. We've got new t-shirts. We've got our new logo. We've got a Patreon. Go check out our Patreon. We have got a lot of new tiers. Everything from live Discord channels to, of course, all Discord channels are live. Our Discord channel to live listen-ins on our recordings of some episodes and some other great benefits you can get from being a Patreon. So again, for everyone that is already a Patreon member, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Father David.
And I was Eric Mitch.
This minute will self-destruct.
See you next time on the show. It's done. It was so fun. Thanks for listening to Minute Impossible. Possible. Minute Impossible.
I'm Father David Mowry. I'm a Roman Catholic priest for the Diocese of Joliet. And
no, too much. Too much. Too much. Oh, just I'm David. Or I'm Father David. Whatever you want to be.
We're off to a great start.
Yes.
And I'm Father David Mowry.